shit. I've got like 20 fucking zillion tabs open, dude.
Look for the one that has the
there
red.
It is.
Yeah. There you go.
This looks like there fucking three podcast guys right here, dude.
Hey.
With a beautiful wife, and you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
But this is gonna have this is like a, I'm gonna say a lightly outlined episode.
Okay.
You guys want to just jump in?
I'm self-conscious because my life, although strange, I'm not sure how atypical it is in these days for somebody to find weird living arrangements, especially people in our age bracket who have been disincluded from the property escalator. Like, one of the primary ways that printed money can make it into the economy to make it work is these housing prices once they're realized.
Well, and oddly, I mean, one of the ways that you kind of get money to start the cycle, right, is like, get that mortgage, get that first mortgage going, right? And that kind of unlocks the door on your credit and all the rest of the shit. And foregoing that, you can easily be locked out of basically all that shit.
Yeah. I mean, because of my disability, I have lupus. I didn't have enough faith in my continued ability to produce profitable outcomes. You know, I never did get a home loan, even though I've qualified for it many times over. And so I missed out on that escalator just for being a slightly imperfect fruit. You know,
I can't say for our listeners, if they have any interest, a great way to get your credit score up is to cheat the system. Take out, get $500, take out a shared secured loan, pay it back like $100 a month at a time, and then your credit will just go up.
That's how the Fix Your Credit people do it. They like pool all of your shit. They're like, give us $500 and we'll fix your credit in 8 months, right? Because they're just going to pool your money into some stupid security and then report all that to Experian or whatever, and your shit's fixed. And okay, we did not convene today to talk about fixing your credit, guys.
No, hey everybody, welcome to Propaganda. That is Sunday, January 12th. Joined as always with Alec, and welcome back to the show, Bernie Goldsmith, aka Falcon Refinance. Put a bird in your name if you want to join the gang. Bernie, welcome back.
Hi there. You guys find me at somewhat of a low point in my life. I'm in the back sewing room of my mother's house. I moved out of that old mall, and now I'm here. So it's nice to talk to you guys again. And I just spent like maybe a half hour walking my dogs, ranting into the air about all of the inequities of the system. So I'm loaded and ready to go.
Bernie is like our the vibe smith, right? And like I he came up. I was having this conversation with Connor like a week and a half ago or so, right? And I was like, dude, all this shit is so fucking weird. And I'll kind of elaborate in a second, but these events keep happening, and like probably the last month and a half, like basically all through December and then into this year still, where these events occur, I see these images and it feels like AI has infected my brain in reverse, where like now I look at these images, these like horrific and strange images, and I think, this is manufactured. This is fake, right? There's no way this is real. And then all of it turns out to be real. And yet like the pieces don't fit together. So let me give you an example, right? So looking in retrospect, the first time that this happened was when they named the United healthcare CEO shooter, right? When I first heard Luigi Mangione's name, I thought, that's something 4chan made up. That's not a real name. Nobody's named Luigi Mangione. That's not a guy that kills people on Main Street, right?
And why is it weird? Because you think it's like an Italian name, it's an assassin or something?
It seemed like a joke at the time. But I didn't realize that this was part of the same trend until like 2 weeks later. I think the first time I realized it, well, no, I guess it was a couple weeks later. Because like the first time I really was like, oh, like all of these things, that's why I've been feeling so unsettled, was the picture of the Tesla burning in front of Trump Vegas, right? Because immediately my brain said, that's an AI image, right?
This is a manufactured spectacle is what your brain said. And then you said, okay, so what have I been looking at that's been manufacturing spectacles? It's got to be AI. But no, what you're watching is pageantry and intentionally performed, like the guy staged his own death to be that way.
Yes, which turns out to be the truth. It is half and then fully true, right? It's half true in that this thing did, this event did occur. And then you find out that this guy actually did mean for this to happen. It wasn't just a random Cybertruck exploding. This was a failed ? Terror attack. And let me just, before we like dive into any one of these instances, there's two more, right? The LA fires, the first I hear about the Palisade fires was a little video of literally fires off in the distance of woods. And then that iconic, like bizarre image of the Santa Monica Pier with just like a dust storm, like looked like the sandstorm out of Dune coming up behind it. Right. And again, I think this is not a real image. Right. And then if you remember, I don't know, Bernie, if you saw it, the picture of Donald Trump Jr. and Charlie Kirk and some other lackey in like parkas, and they're doing a selfie, and behind them is this like this Arctic landscape and a little town, and they're in Greenland to talk to people in Greenland about annexing Greenland, and Charlie Kirk's face is very disconcerting, right? Is alien in and of itself, and he does not appear human to us normal humans, right? But there's something else about it that's like, What if Donald Trump Jr. and Charlie Kirk were in Greenland, generate image, right? And that's what it would spit out. And that's not a reality that I thought we lived in.
So there's a couple things. The magical becoming real or something like that seems to be, you know, the veil is thin. We're crossing over to where what people imagine to be real is actually real. And, you know, I first started noticing this with a little bit of nominative determinism that was popping out during the Trump presidency. I don't have any ready examples of it, but I just remember that prison guard that was guarding Epstein. His last name was Crime. I don't know if you remember that.
I recall the Trump staring at the sun image, but like that was pre-AI. So I didn't have that expectation that like, this is fake. Somebody made this as a lark, right? It was him pointing and staring into the sun during like an eclipse.
Yeah.
And like, I think we're entering into sort of a terminal phase of delirium fantasy in the public life. I think we're going to see wonders is the short of it. And the Trump car exploding, or the Elon Musk vehicle exploding in front of Trump Tower, is just one of the things that will be spontaneously constructed by people who have no idea what to do. And so they will try to add to the prevailing narrative however they can. If you look at the Trump guy, the Trump Tower bomber, who did it completely, in my opinion, independently of the guy in New Orleans who snapped and decided to go turn into ISIS. Mm-hmm. The guy in Vegas, if you look at his personal notes, he didn't really have much going on upstairs. So what he was doing was he was building some kind of image with the publicly available stuff he had, and he did it. He reconstructed something that is so salient that it looks surreal. And you go to the New Orleans guy who was a Green Beret, and or was he a Green Beret?
No, the Vegas guy was a Green Beret.
Vegas guy was a Green Beret, and the guy was a Marine.
IT guy. Yeah, yeah, he was a Marine. He was like an IT guy.
If you look at it, he's pulling out what's around him as well. I mean, what does that guy have in his environment? ISIS, you know? What does he want to not become? ISIS or whatever? I don't know. I don't have a theory for this guy. I don't think it's healthy to peel these guys around.
It almost feels ironic again, right? Like it almost feels like this is like the Vegas guy, right? This other prime example. It generates this image, but then you look into it and it's like a dream where like the details make less and less sense the more like you look into it. Like he's Googling how to make a car bomb, and then he pulls up in this fucking like rented Cybertruck and blows his brains out with like a Desert Eagle. It's just like nonsense. It's just like drawing from the kind of recesses of your like subconscious.
You had me on here earlier and we were discussing a concept known as the lathe of heaven, where sort of like you joke about things until almost like as if you're engaging in a collective dream. You pull out of that morass some kind of humorous thing that turns out to be so salient that it must occur.
So I wanted to touch on something that you just said, Bernie, about like it's dangerous for you to peel back these layers and try to find sense in these things. And one of the reasons why we wanted to have you on this week in the first place is because Alec and I were noticing that there are pockets online. There's not a large majority, but there are pockets that are trying to make connections between all these events that Alex said, that somehow they're connected. And maybe it's because it's, to Alex's point, like, this doesn't seem real. This seems manufactured. This all seems fake. Obviously, this is connected. But I wanted to have you on to get your opinion. Why are people so desperate to make these connections?
I think it's because, just like with the Mangione case, I think it's because if you're one of the first to crystallize an explanation and a narrative, it gives you a great deal of power as the person who created that to sort of bake in your own ideology in subtle ways. So the first person to name it, to identify the fad, becomes kind of, I don't know, as powerful as a grandfather would be.
There's something there.
Yeah.
There's something there because of, you know, there were two manifestos of Mangione's that went around. One, very fake, very, it felt like someone wrote it after reading the rumor that Mangione liked the Unabomber.
Somebody on Something Awful made that up. And
Yeah. So the original manifesto, lots of people I know shared it. I had to message them and be like, hey, no, his real manifesto is like 243 words. It's very simple. There's some misspellings. Like, and it was like a handwritten note or something. It is not this like odd, weird synopsis of the first Gladiator movie mixed with political violence. But yeah, to your point, Bernie, like, I guess the person who put that original fake manifesto out was just like, yeah, I'm fucking big dick boss over here. This is awesome.
Well, I'm gonna tell you something with regards to that manifesto. It resonated because it was doing the same kind of thing that AI is doing. It was filling in a profile with the best average that you could figure out. And that would be some kind of weird incel who's overly devolved, involved in the mechanics of his game and has such a narrow life that he has only sort of the games that he plays and the narrative stories that he has in his little room to try to explain this in his manifesto. So, you know, I think the people who made up that forgery proceeded from the thought that this person would be a white loner who's privileged, who would be on his own playing games and stuff like that. And you know what? The reason why it sped around so easily was people said that makes sense. When you don't have an explanation for something and you got to work forward through this world, you tend to guess because we tend to be right when we just let our brain run on autopilot.
That is the profile that matches the Las Vegas guy, the guy in the Cybertruck, you know, a white loner who plays video games. You know, he recently got divorced, messaged his ex-girlfriend to say, I rented a Cybertruck. I feel like Batman or Halo. So like, exactly. he's doing the fucking, I'm like, Halo meme. So yeah, this profile, you're right, Bernie. It's very easy because it's been offered to us so many times.
I want to be clear. When I say this, it feels fake. Right. I am doing like a little bit of self-observation. I'm not saying that these events did not occur. I am not saying that they are orchestrated by a government or that this is like a psyop or whatever. Right. Like that this is this is a false flag or a psyop of some kind. What I am saying is that when I see these images, when I see these stories, they do not translate to my brain at first glance or on second glance or like halfway reading through the article as something that could have really happened. Right?
This looks like, uncanny. This looks unnatural. This is tripping something in my head that says this looks like a lure, something that, you know, it's like an orchid that resembles something but is not quite that thing. And so you have this uncanny sense that makes you withdraw. And it's correct. The guy didn't know anything about anything. The guy who blew himself up in front of that tower, the guy who ran into all those people, they were all simpletons using large, complicated ideas that had been dropped at their footsteps. And so that's why it seems uncanny. That's why it's too on point. That's why when you see somebody writing something like this into fiction, you're like, that's just stupid. He wouldn't be named Mr. Calamari.
You know? You learn these.
Come on, who's hiring these writers?
And
I think it might explain a little bit of the simulation theory weirdos that are coming out that have no ability to explain the world or I don't know, nullify their crimes or make it overall make sense in morality. Get this with the Rocco's Basilisk people too. But yeah, man, people are just making up their own realities at this point.
Or I mean, it's possible that what's happening to me, and I've, by the way, I've expressed this to a couple other people, and they go like, "Yeah, it does feel like that." Like, it's that in like in the past 6 months, a year, perhaps, right? It's possible that life has just been so dull, right? That the amount of events that are actually occurring, right? The like nothing ever happens meme, right? That the end of the Biden administration, especially, has been just destructive and painful, dull monotony, that now that anything is occurring, that it all seems bizarre. And then also like this like reverse of AIification, where you're talking about like, well, AI would be naturally a thing that is expected, regurgitated so many times that we wouldn't expect a kind of natural randomization, right? That like real events do have these like funny aspects and like weird, you know, pieces and corners that are shorn off that don't quite fit. And that now I'm expecting a totally smooth world, right? A very expected narrative, and reality to me now looks fake, right? Which is a bizarre turning on its head, since the last thing we talked about a while back was the creation, right, of these like false narratives as truth, right? Now I'm seeing truth as a false narrative.
Alec, you really think that this was a year where nothing happened? I mean, the politics of the summer, it was like a roller coaster of Biden being forced out, Kamala taking his place without a primary. Like, there were things that were going on. What makes you feel like nothing happened?
That seems like so far away to me. I'm not going to lie. Like, the pre-election stuff seems like it was a year ago.
It's because of how it's being managed in the media. These are probably uncomfortable contradictions that need to recede into the past. Like, why is it that we spent the entire year with everybody who is still in positions of power in the Democratic Party lying to us, quite frankly, over a period of 2 years about something very basic, the competency of the president? Like, how do you go back after that, after this person's been like, oh yeah, grandpa's upstairs, he is upstairs, he's fine, and then you go upstairs and he's like a corpse.
It's not even over. Like, he's doing press conferences still, and the New York Times is talking about how they fucked this up and how he's clearly demented, and there's still press conferences going on where people have to sit and listen to this guy, and then they have to report on the things that he says.
He's not fit to sit.
What's going on?
It does kind of feel like the last like 5 years of my grandmother's life as she like battled Alzheimer's, which is just like, it's not to get too into it and make it really sad or a bummer, but it was just like nothing is happening. It's just like sustained slow decline. I get where you're coming from, Alec.
I think things are happening. I just don't think that they're allowed to puncture the membrane of existence that the core of the empire acknowledges. These things happen, but they're not going to be recorded. We're not allowed to use them as everyday evidences or things that we can think about and count on, because they don't exist effectively. Like, not anymore. They're being forgotten.
And it feels like they're being forgotten in like a 10-minute time frame from when they occur.
That's very, very true. Even Luigi Mangione shooting the CEO feels like way more than just a month ago.
Yes. I mean, I saw Bernie, you've seen that image of Luigi Mangione depicted as the Maria de Guadalupe, right? On like a post in L.A. and like in the background, L.A. burns.
Yeah, he's being digested by the mass consciousness. I'm running around. I'm wearing my Luigi shirt. I've got my Luigi hat. I have a Luigi mustache. Hey, there we go. I got my Luigi outfit complete. Look at me. We're ready to do some plumbing. I'm running around looking like the idealized version of Luigi from the Mario Brothers, because I can't look like Luigi himself. I think that a new Luigi is being birthed by popular authorship. And while this guy is in this cocoon and not saying anything, the public has been filling this void that he has left with all of these images that are extremely clear, that he has unmitigated support, that he has achieved near religious idol status among a lot of people who have great reason to have deep sentiments, because most all of us have been personally touched by this corrupt and unworkable system. I mean, it's clear that he was striking at something that exists merely for the purpose of causing mischief and injustice. No other developed economy in the world has anything resembling what sector of the economy this guy was the head of. There is no such thing as a head of the biggest health insurer of Switzerland. At least it's not, it's completely different there. Like, what he does is unique and uniquely harmful. You can't argue that it is a load-bearing part of any kind of rational health system. And so he struck directly at the contradictions that we are asked to swallow. Like, why are we treating this man as a gentleman when in fact he is the commandant of a death camp and responsible for the deaths of millions in ways that are ascertainable by even the simplest person? Why do we have this section of industry, one of the primary employers of this country, the healthcare industry? Why do we have this parasitical appendage that serves no purpose demonstrably? So Mr. Mangione also was quite well off. He was from a family of means. And part of the narrative of the United States is, no matter how awful the general public has it, you can always, through the power of liberal freedom, use your pocketbook to buy yourself out of it. Only now you can't. And you look at myself, you know, I'm suffering horribly from inadequate health care. So if you look at what Luigi did, it's the perfect guy to do the perfect thing and then shut up about it. And that's what he's doing. It's really like almost like a 9/11 for the insurance industry.
So, you know what I've noticed? A bizarre parallel, and again, in reverse, is enormous amount of reporting, an enormous amount of attention, and I'm not faulting the system for this, right, to the LA fires. But what is missing out of that is climate change as a coherent narrative and through line that this event should obviously be bringing to the forefront everywhere in our media, right? And the thing about Luigi is that it forced through the membrane a little bit to where you noticed how panicked everyone became when the issue was forced, right? When the actual moral attitude of the structure was put into perspective in reverse by people's observation of it, and media all of a sudden had to change into, we really, really cannot lionize and celebrate this act, right? And how, with the fires, for instance, the thing that is so obvious to all of us, which is that, you know, between climate change and governmental corruption and failure of either the feds or the California state government, this problem was allowed to metastasize into this thing that is now apocalyptic, right? And yet it exists nowhere in that kind of mainstream narrative in the same way that Luigi's acts, let's say, forced.
So, you know, I'm going to tell you, I don't think the big switcheroo in the media is about concealing climate change.
Okay.
I've been noticing that the media, at least the controlled media, has been taking attack of discussing the sentimentality of losing one's homes, not only losing one's homes as you might with a tornado, but losing one's homes along with all of the memorabilia, because it's all vaporized now and there's no way that you can replace those memories. And my thought is, why are they giving this voice over and over in prime time? And I'm thinking, well, there's certain aspects of this tragedy that you really can't discuss, like the fact that if you lose a house in the society, you're losing your large part of your net worth. And the process of being nomadic, turning nomadic, will drain the rest of your net worth and whatever you had in order, whatever property you had, which will allow you to get back on your feet. It's a death sentence in this current climate. I mean, the fact is, the real tragedy here is that to lose your house like this results in being cast into the masses of homeless in this society who we criminalize. So the reason why they focus on the sentimentality is because if you talk about the reality of the situation, the only thing distinguishing the celebrities from the people that we actively have been rounding up during this crisis in the streets and ticketing even worse so that we can maintain the appearance of control. The only thing differing, these two people just blew up in fire, you know? So now they're wandering the streets just as homeless as the people getting rounded up.
Literally depersoned, right?
Right. Yeah. So in this society, losing your house is a tragedy. In another society, it would not be. Let's look at Singapore, where 91% of the housing is municipally controlled, is government housing. Such a successful model in the face of climate change, something that's much larger than any individual can really build against, that China itself is allowing its commercial property market to go bankrupt numerous times because they want to buy the property of foreign investors at a low price and turn it into state housing. Very clever for them, as the Economist blows chunks of rage all over itself.
Endless ink spilled about how this is going to lead to a never-ending cycle of the egress of foreign capital investment from China, and that this is, you know, as the last 20, 30, 40 years have shown, going to be the end of the Chinese growth model, right? And it's like, you got fucked, didn't you, right? The fucking Chinese just tricked you out of enormous sums of money because you wanted to fuck around and play pretend in a market that they have an actual grasp of.
So going back to the fires and how the media is managing it. So the winds are about to go up and the fire is still in process. And the one that's not contained, the Palisades fire, is about to get a huge bonus from a windstorm that's hitting on Tuesday. So the situation might change. But what I have seen in terms of the government response, now that we've gone through the media response, the government response on the federal level has been to guarantee all disaster relief efforts to be funded. So that was a signal to the LAPD and other emergency services to put everybody on the clock immediately, even if you're sleeping in your car. I don't know if you saw the video of this guy whose house burned down and they forbade him from driving up to his house. So he had to walk 5 miles to discover everything was gone. And then to avoid the 5 mile walk back, he's asking one of the 60 plus patrol cars that are chilling out in a parking lot for a ride back. And they tell him to,
fuck off. Yeah. I mean, so those Bernie are so fucking believable to me, right? Like those moments do not trigger this feeling of unreality. The fire itself does, but then like, the cops telling you to fuck off because you've just become essentially indistinguishable from a homeless person. That tracks.
So systemic cruelty is so commonplace that you like buy it hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah, that tracks for me. I mean, the thing that's crazy and that I do take, you know, a little bit of personal frustration with Connor, and like I've expressed this to him, and I know this sentiment is not good, right, Bernie? I know that I shouldn't feel this way, but as somebody who, dude, I was in a community that got destroyed by a hurricane. And I'll be honest, right? There was a tremendous amount of rebuilding that got at least the power back on within a month, right? For most people. But the fact that I know that LA matters, I know there's a lot more people there too, right? It's not Lake Charles. But the fact that, you know, the president's coming out or the governor in concert with FEMA and they're just saying, hey guys, don't worry. No expenses will be spared. You will be made whole after, you know, after FEMA, you know, they still haven't paid people out over here.
It's like it's the Israel of America.
I mean,
I didn't say it.
I think there's something there, Alec, because I do not, and please listeners, correct me if I'm wrong, or Bernie and Alec, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't remember this urgent of a response after the flooding in North and South Carolina or Tennessee.
Nope, Biden was hiding. He didn't even come out for it. And at, I mean, the difference, I think, is probably dollar value. And who's,
I mean,
affected.
It's everything, probably.
It's true. It's evident. Yeah.
Well, isn't so entertainment our top export?
Dollar value, political importance, right? It's probably, Connor, one of the most visible places on earth, right? Southern California, LA, that is still that hub of American media, of American, you know, whatever's left of the American dream. A lot of it probably resides in fucking LA and those hills that are on fire or gone.
Yeah, it's our propaganda nexus.
So my instruction to people who are watching an inadequate federal response in some places and an overwhelming federal response in other places, and sometimes a response that's helpful and sometimes a response that's very much not helpful, but instead seemingly designed to exert control where none existed before so that nothing else can emerge. I look at this as something that people ignore and pretend isn't happening, but you've got to look at it as the government telling you exactly who it's there for, exactly how it will respond to disasters in the future, and exactly how you should prepare yourself, which is for that type of response. It's not like they're being secretive about this or how they will manage things. They're going to protect centers of industry, in this case, media industry, and they're going to let other places flounder. We are in necropolitics. We're in a stage of auto catabolism, and we're going to do that until we find a way to return to becoming the masters of the means of production, which we have ceded to China at this point.
I also wonder, you know, given the COVID pandemic shutting things down, and then once momentum was building back up, you had the strikes going on in LA. I wonder if the powers that be, the people pushing the levers of capital, were like, LA cannot take another hit right now, or it's done for. And there goes our basically all of our media and our big exports. Yeah, to your point, Bernie, they see this as a high value territory that needs to be restored and reinforced.
Elon Musk landed in L.A. an hour ago, by the way.
For what?
He's up to something there.
Oh, God.
Exactly. You know, but he's up to something there.
That's another one, right? Like this, it almost seems too stupid, the Elon Musk, Vivek Ranswamy thing, where Vivek is
Doge.
It seemed AI generated, which, by the way, a German friend of mine told me that I think it was Die Welt posted an Elon Musk op-ed that people immediately hopped on as literally written by AI, right? But remember the Vivek Ranswamy post,
yeah,
right, where he complains about Urkel and stuff, and
people think Bart is cooler than Milhouse. Like, well, yeah, he's literally cooler than Milhouse.
The unseriousness of politics, right? But then, right, like an AI image, Elon Musk literally, you know, a meeting with the AFD, right? Like head in Germany, in a Twitter spaces, I should say, right, to talk about European anti-white racism, and it's like, woo, this is out of control, right?
This is kind of signaling to us that we're going to have two kinds of worlds coming. A kind of world where a country will allow somebody like that into their borders, and a place where that type of travel would be forbidden. I mean, you're right to think that Musk looks surreal, that he looks fake, that there's something going on there. I think his purpose is to be the one who crosses the Rubicon and then gets his ass killed for it. But in the meanwhile, every idol he smashes is one that the rest of the billionaire class can run in and start kind of subtly doing it themselves, but with less panache.
Yeah, that's what disruption is all about. You disrupt it, you break it, and then suddenly there's no regulation, so you can swoop in.
Right. So if he can get away with it, he's setting a precedent. He's essentially the billionaire icebreaker.
Yeah. I have to say, like, speaking of the billionaire class, the other one that happened just the other day, and I mean, this was like, we had already asked Bernie to come on, and when it happened, I was like, see, this shit right here. It was the picture of Mark Zuckerberg on Joe Rogan with like the broccoli haircut and the fucking like
the chain with the big shirt.
Oh my God.
He looks like in mental crisis.
Well, he looks like Drake, or he's like trying to be Drake or something with like the Zoomer haircut. And I was like, that is an AI image. Draw Mark Zuckerberg on Rogan with a broccoli haircut. right?
We did this to him. We made fun of him for putting on like a pound of sunscreen on his face. We made fun of him for looking like a twig boy. And like, you're laughing, but like, for there's like probably a, something there. He's like, no, I'm a man. I'm going to be a man, damn it. Now he's going to UFC. Reptilian. Now Dana White is on the board of Facebook director. Like he is, we made fun of him and we pushed him into, I'll show you what a man I can be. That's what he's
doing. Think the most disturbing aspect of all of this is that we know now that these people are reading our posts and it's getting to them. And in their world, in Musk's world, probably not in Bill Gates' world, but in the new blood billionaire world, our virtual is their real, because they never were outside of that virtual realm. Yeah. They never had an existence outside of it. And so they're not ruling our realm. They're trapped in there with us, and we're torturing them. And there are so many more of us than there are of them. And so we're watching their brains unravel. And I guarantee to you that it's not the random action of social networking and chemicals. We are all trying to fuck these people up on the astral realm, and it's working. It's working. It's concerted effort. It's intention. It's language. And we're getting to them, and they're starting to act crazy. Go ahead. Sorry.
It's so interesting because, like, you take a CEO like Mr. Wonderful or Mark Cuban, any name your Shark Tank CEOs. They seem ineffable, like nothing will shake them. And then these tech CEOs, to your point, Bernie, like these were nerds who lucked out, or, you know, not lucked out, but had help in like making a ton of money. And they have changed their public image to seem cool because we make fun of them so much. That's why Elon Musk is the most thin-skinned guy.
I've been playing with the idea that the best way to ensure loyalty to capital is if billionaireship is handed out virtually at random. It's kind of like a sci-fi thing, but it also seems to be somehow how it's working.
I have to say, like looking back, I don't know, listener, if you've listened to our last interview with Mr. Bernie, with Falconry Finance here. It was a bit frenetic because I had only spoken to Bernie like once in like, maybe Twitter Spaces or like a Discord or something. So I was just pretty excited to have him on. But I've listened to that interview like a couple times. And Bernie's call to like keep posting and to attempt to like manifest things on social media, like in a viral space where other people can like beam it off, and that in some sense that will at least become reality. I was like a little bit skeptical about it. I was like, well, that's kind of hopeful. But two things I am sure of, right? One is that you can fucking bully CEOs. You can make that part of it happen 100%. Right. And the second thing, like to go back to the creation of a Luigi Mangione in our shared minds, that guy is whatever you want him to be in this collective conscious and unconscious that we share, right? Online, in meet space, talking to your coworkers, wherever. And if you want to create a hero that you can emulate, and I'm speaking not of Luigi Mangione, I'm just speaking in totally abstract terms here about anybody, really, in any act, you can do that. And I really do now kind of see what Bernie was getting at 2, 3, 4 months ago whenever we did that. I feel it now. I'm feeling the sauce, right?
Same as it ever was. 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 Same as it ever was.
I guess what I'm getting at, Bernie, is that the ability that we have to detect these actual false images, right? You can type something into AI, to an image generator, and it can make an image that looks correct, but then all of the surroundings are kind of weird, and you can look it up and you're like, oh, this didn't really happen and all this. That's an approximation of an idea. And it's fundamentally less creative than the kind of stuff that we can generate just in a kind of the social setting of posting. That's an image that's fundamentally unreal. Whereas the ideas of a guy like Luigi Mangione, it's odd that we keep coming back to him, right? These can manifest in not just real acts, but perhaps real movements.
People see the false image and then they reproduce it in reality and therefore make the image real.
There you go.
Yeah, that's scary. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about.
And the right is doing it, and I wish we would do it some more. I wish we, the left, would do it more than they do, right?
I think we all do it every day whenever we think about money. I mean, that's the first thing that Marx sort of picked apart, the narrative that we all follow, that we have this fictitious idea of a marketplace in some primal location out of which these habits on the micro scale evolved. And so the macro is this unbelievable, unknowable paradox, the free market that while we can't understand it ever, really we can understand its little constituent parts, which in the end of the day is just your friendly butcher trading with your friendly candlestick maker. That complete hogwash bullshit, when in fact the real story is there's a room with a bunch of perverts who have all committed crimes that are so heinous that you would probably in any just society hang them 20 years ago, have through sinecure of these heinous acts obtained fantastic amounts of wealth, so much wealth that the very definition of wealth itself is theirs to author. These disgusting old men sit in their penthouse up in New York and they scribble on pieces of paper empty promises that could never be filled, and we treat it like gold. They're stupid lies, and we knife each other for it, and we forget our morals for it, and we do just about anything to get more of it. But I got to tell you, that system isn't really working, and the evidence of that is that they have to print more and more of that shit and give it out like candy to the worst assholes in the world, or else the circulation won't work anymore, because we don't have a real economic system anymore. We've got this thing where we're just printing money. So no, none of it's real. And so the reality can manifest as whatever you want for this limited period of time. If we dream up that there's a golden god ceremony or something like that, we'll end up doing it. It's just a matter of 1,000 years that we're not trying that shit. Right now, what we just did was printed trillions of dollars and gave it to small business owners so that they can recreate Stars Hollow for a couple of years. That's the abominable small town ruled by petty merchants in the Gilmore Girls series. It's kind of what I think about in my mind when I think about the sort of petty bourgeois small America that is supposed to exist. That shit only works on printed money. Nobody in Stars Hollow produces shit.
So, while we're in the area of stupid, made-up shit, the leader of Greenland is now willing to meet with Trump once he takes office. The leader of Panama has declared that there's no way he'll let this happen, but he's going to wait until Trump takes office before he does any actions. President Sheinbaum of Mexico is now joking about we should start calling Texas Mexican America. Like, there's all these different dumb things that are happening. A friend of mine recently asked me, what are we being distracted from? What's actually happening that we're being distracted from by paying attention to these dumb fucking stories about American expansionism, of Canada as the 51st state, never mind Puerto Rico? Bernie and Alec, I want to ask, what do you think, one, we're being distracted from, and two, what do we need to pay attention to moving forward in the second Trump administration that we all know is just going to be distraction, 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 distraction?
Bernie, I'll go first because your answers are usually better than mine. So I think the main one is that we've basically had a possibly definitive nail in the coffin of a kind of bog standard American liberalism that we discovered halfway into this past year, that Biden's brain in fact does not work and that everyone was lying live on television. And it took another month and a half for that other shoe to drop and for him to finally be coaxed out of the candidateship for the most powerful man in the history of the world. And then, you know, they got this lady that was basically just put there because it locked in a bunch of California donors, and that they were totally clueless as to how to beat, you know, the game show clown even the second time around. And that utter failure is just so like all encompassing that they're going to distract with whatever they can.
Right? It's interesting, Alec, real quick. You mentioning this, like, you know, Biden's loss. But that is something that we're seeing worldwide. I mean, what is it? 6 out of the 7 leaders of the G7 nations are just being like ousted or resigning, or a snap election is coming. Maloney, the right wing leader of Italy, is the only one left. So like liberalism worldwide seems to be having this crisis. The I'm G7, not saying anything new here.
Yeah, I would point out that like one of the big standouts is Claudia Sheinbaum, as you mentioned, right? Like an heir to AMLO's left-wing party that produced serious left-wing policy that actively helped people and changed their lives in Mexico. Those are the people that have avoided, you know, this narrative of the, you know, post-COVID destruction of all of these incumbent parties. It's not true in Mexico. Our next door neighbor. And you know why? Because they gave people fucking money, right? Yeah. They rebuilt schools. They increased pension funding and built fucking old folks homes and shit. It's not complicated. Public housing.
I think that, you know, the question boils down to what do you think is going to, you're seeing a bunch of grand gestures right now at the outset of this regime. And what do you think is actually going to happen? You know, whenever they have the military parade, marching bands in the street, the noise is usually to cover the teeth that are getting pulled in the alleys as they're interrogating people. So the question is, what's really going on here? And I think that the millennialists and the sort of, I guess you'd call them old school robber barons, I think that they've decided that this is the ultimate opportunity to completely redraw the world again in their image, and they're making the big play. And I think they've looked at the dual problem of the coronavirus basically incapacitating an increasing number of people, especially in the global south, where we've been restricting vaccinations through manipulation of patents, and of course, buying up the entire supply with the idea that these people would suffer and become incapacitated so that we could pull off a bunch of coups, which we did. I think that during Biden's presidency, that plus climate change kind of decided that, well, it looks like people with less technology and organization, basically everybody but China, is on their back heel, and it's time for us to do a blitz. And that's why we saw the countries of Syria and Lebanon completely flip and get dismantled, where the head of ISIS is now in charge of it. The guy that Trump promised to behead, well, not the head of ISIS, he was the emir of Khartoum, one of the guys in charge who really got all the diamonds and pet tigers and shit like that. He was one of the winners in the theocracy. Now he's the head of Syria. And of course, the United States has obligingly withdrawn the bullshit bounty they put on his head and withdrawn. Have they done that yet? Or are they still doing that?
No, they did it. Guys are shaking his motherfucking hand.
What I see in this era is the subordination of the satellite powers. That would be Europe. We've basically shut down their entire industrial output by bombing their natural gas pipelines from Russia, with the idea of telling them, good luck, it's time to reorient your economy totally towards the core. You are now subservient to us. I mean, it's a great time to go visit Japan, whose central bank and currency we've shattered. We are disciplining them. We're pulling all of these satellites into tighter and tighter alignment because the whole empire is under threat. The mask is slipping because the effort to keep it up is too much. And I think we've been committing all of these atrocities in the information age without any kind of solution to them getting around a lot quicker than they did in the 70s. And I think that's bearing out with the demographics that we're seeing on the Palestinian thing. The people who are younger and more online are more able to view the atrocities than the people who are older and have relied most entirely on the censored media. You know, Rachel Maddow said the word Gaza 7 times in her entire career up until this latest year. They did an analysis on it. Like, my mother, who watches nothing but TV, is completely ignorant. So the one question is, okay, we got grand gestures. Yeah, you can expect those from a Trump presidency. It's in the book, The Art of the Deal. He makes a big splash and then dials back. What are we going to see, you know, in the back room where they're pulling teeth? We're going to be seeing Lebensraum policy done like full speed ahead. We're going to be aggressing with Mexico because we want their land. We're going to be aggressing with Canada because we want their land. We are integrating these people into the core because we can't afford satellites anymore, because if we allow them to be satellites, they might start buying things from China at much cheaper rates.
Bernie's 100% on the money. Like, I think what we're seeing is we're actually not really going to get fascism like this go around. Like, the 21st century fascism is going to look like liberalism having shorn any pretense of democracy, right? That this endless cycle of austerity and neoliberal policy that followed, you know, the Cold War and the post World War II politics in places like Europe, that even in places that are kind of as inconsequential theoretically, or at least like to me as Romania, that these policies, they have produced a right wing turn, right? And everybody says, well, that could be fascism. And then what you're going to see is, no, we're just going to annul the election, right? We lost it fair and square, and we're going to make something up, right? Like, I'm not a fan of Georgescu, right? That's the guy in Romania that got thrown out, right? He won the first round, and then they just snapped their fingers, and the Supreme Court declared the election annulled, right? Because
we did a similar thing in Ecuador.
Exactly. Something TikTok ad buys from Russia or something. That's what you're going to see, is it's going to just be endless liberalism. And I think, you know, don't even speak about like the left kind of usurping power. But when the right tries to do it, because they always get closer than us, they're just going to snap their fingers and make it go away. And you're going to be stuck in the neoliberal democracy without democracy degenerative state.
I don't think those words will mean much anymore. And I see the future. I'm sure that many of the listeners are familiar with the glyph, the Sonnenrad, which is, if you imagine a swastika, imagine like a spider-like circle with crooked arms reaching out. It's like a wheel with broken spokes, and the spokes are lightning symbols. This was originally designed by Himmler. It was his dream for the future of Nazism. And I see this dream being manifested now in the way that the overarching ruling hegemonic power is creating ethno-nationalist groups that are all superiorist in their own little spheres. We're creating Ukrainian white nationalists. We're creating Indian ethno-supremacists. We are gilding every spoke of this black sun. We're constructing this thing where the entire world is a series of fascist ethno-national groups that are played off each other to the benefit of something, who knows what, could be anything. At this point, it's the logic of capital. In the future, it could be the whims of a madman.
Well, played off of each other critically, like in the current year, right? In the current structure that this ideology inhabits, the internet, right?
We've got Ukrainian Nazis fighting on behalf of Israel. The only way that makes sense is if they share that quality that can't be stated, their fascist roots. They are not touching each other in ideology, but they are the same thing. It's like those spokes in the wheel.
That's precisely what I'm getting at. And like, to circle back to like the image that seems fake because all the details are wrong. The unique thing that's kind of continual on the spectrum of, you know, internet fascism now bleeding into the real world is that you look at these people and they're like ideologically incoherent internally, like to themselves, and then certainly incoherent to each other, right? You have Vivek Ranswamy screaming about H-1B visas when this dude has been surrounding himself with white nativists forever. Right. Yeah. You have the people that voted for the same guy as the guys that look like Vivek and like think like Vivek being screamed at by actual racist white nativists. Well, racists of a different stripe, I should say, in America. And you know what? Their fight doesn't matter because all of them voted for Donald Trump. Right. Like the seeming ideological incoherence of a Ukrainian Nazi. Right. Fighting on behest of a Jewish state in the Middle East.
Jewish supremacist state who believes that Jews are the master race and have a personal relationship with God, who is their real estate agent.
That incoherence doesn't matter because it's all just like the neoliberal, like fascist structure.
Right. There's no internal.
And the rest is just window dressing. Yeah. The rest doesn't matter. The details don't matter.
So I think we're doomed. I mean, I was waking up today thinking, what are the contracts of society providing me personally? Pretty much none. I'm out of luck. I got no investment in the ruling order of things. What am I to do? You know, I think, you know, other than podcasting, which is a wonderful use, I'm at a loss. I have been effectively severed from every lever of productive capacity. What knowledge I have is dependent upon its employ in supporting a regime that I find to be utterly odious to the point where acting on its behalf would imperil my immortal soul. What is someone like me to do except for to implore to God with the contents of his heart to show me some way that I can exist in this wicked place and yet do righteous works before I die? And I don't have the answer. That's why I'm asking.
I think I have an answer. You mentioned podcasting. I see 2025 as the year of Falconry Frasier, where you rewatch all of Frasier and you give your insight on each and every single episode. It's got class. It's got hoity-toity art. It's got working class through the father. I think, Bernie, you can really bring a new level of analysis to Frasier that the world has been missing out on.
I've always believed that Daphne Moon was supposed to, the subtext there was that she was a former IRA terrorist that had to leave Ireland and had found herself placed amongst right-wing aristocrats by some of her contacts there with the hope that she could not only cloak her presence there, but perhaps commit future acts of terrorism against them in order to make advance the IRA's agenda.
This is what I'm fucking talking
Wait,
about, man.
Did you know that he was going to say that, Connor? Did you guys talk about that bit?
No.
No, I've been thinking about Frasier quite a lot. It's an enigmatic series. Like
off the top of the dome.
Especially his class propaganda, you know?
There we go.
So good. He's so good, Fo. He's incredible. You know what? Hey, I've got a positive fucking message for you guys. We can all get into plumbing.
We're ready to do some plumbing.
We might have to cut that. That might be too much for the fucking.
No. It's so funny.
Hey, it's great. Can we use the
you
Luigi?
You can use anything I have.
That's all right. Everything it's my favorite thing.
You can use everything I have. And if I ever write something and you think it would be to your benefit to decide that you were the author, do
that.
No. You know, like that's I believe in that. I believe that we're all essentially floating around in the cytosol of the internet, picking up random pieces of protein and processing them into stuff and then running into the results of other people doing that. And if we allow free transaction of this stuff between us, if we don't restrict it with concepts of ownership or identity, then we can do shit a lot faster and weirder. You know, pieces of this machine, this giant organic machine that wouldn't otherwise interact with their inputs or outputs, we can start having a party. You know, a banker can meet a weirdo in some circumstance other than exploiting them for drugs or sex.
I've really listened, Connor, to like the Bernie interview 4 or 5 times,
right?
And like the other thing that really like is kind of came into focus like a lot later was like the internet as the posting, the like unconscious posting superorganism of humanity, right? And like how that all of a sudden clicked and made sense with like manifesting, I don't know about like movements, but at least manifesting realities like in our collective minds, right? Because that's the work you're doing while you're posting and like sharing all these memes, like a virus, like infecting each other with these like little mutant versions of words, of images and ideas about how to process the world. Anyway, go listen to the first Bernie interview a bunch of times and let it stew, listeners. It's so good.
It is a great one.
What I wanted to remind people of, when you describe this process that we engage in on the internet, it's so much more powerful than any kind of static, top-down control media that came before us. And what can't be denied is that it's an activity that provides an incredible amount of unchecked social utility. And we live in an environment, the current system has a rapacious desire to capture any sort of productive capacity of social utility. And that's why we see this domain of infinite potential, where literally how could scarcity exist in such a place? What we've been watching with all of these, you know, a lot of the Israeli tech companies, is how do we introduce hierarchy, scarcity, and the way to buy your way up into it, into these social utility systems, these ways that people warn each other? How do we stop them from doing things in a way that we cannot control? Because it's better for them not to have something than to have this avenue that we don't understand or control. It's the same thing that's always been.
So the other thing that I've been thinking about because of the Bernie, this was thoughts from a couple months ago, but we're kind of dredging it up, is like, I'm not really afraid of AI, because the way in which the human cross-pollination occurs to where these things get like shuffled around until they become mimetic in a way that makes more sense than reality does, right? By the way, like, if it doesn't make sense, just go listen to the Bernie interview again, because it will. They do so because of like the context in which all of these objects kind of exist in our brain are always somewhat related. And those like neural pathways that we all kind of have are somewhat similar. But the way that AI creates these random things is they are truly random because it lacks all of that context. And so that stuff keeps feeling fake and doesn't actually become like resonant. It doesn't ever achieve that quality to where the product, the meme, the idea is like more than the sum of its parts. It's always less. It's always fake and weird in kind of a disconcerting way and uncanny, right? Like Bernie said before, it's never transcendent. And like, in given that context, I'm just not afraid of like the dead.
It's never transgressive.
Yeah, true. It's always the most banal reproduction. And in so doing, it never creates something truly new, or new as like humans would interpret it. And that's, I'm just not that worried about it then, right? It can't think. It's not human. It can't speak to us.
It's just a giant investment scam. It's basically what we've been doing with our economy in order to explain why we're not beating China and everything. We have to invent some kind of new thing and then be the boss of that and try to get everybody else to match it if they're going to be a big grown-up economy. And I think that this is one example of that. And the fact that China is going to be producing chips in greater volume and cheaper than we are within a few years, I don't think that this scam is going to last very long. I don't see a lot of utility for this. I don't.
Bernie, it's a new sign on the fucking money pit, the strip mine somewhere in Palo Alto, right? They like fucking pour white paint over the sign and then write AI over it, right? Where crypto was written before, they scratch that out and write fucking artificial intelligence.
The reason this process is necessary is because there has to be some kind of innovation instead of growth in order to have an economy. You know, we need to introduce money. And in order to do that through this fractional reserve system, we need to have the idea that the money will come back as more money. And those are the only circumstances in which we can print money. So we either do it into these asset classes that have no choice but to go up, or we have these sophisticated scams that allow banks to print money, or investment banks through complicated measures to print money with the idea that it will be all lost and wasted. But the manner in which it is lost and wasted is essential for keeping the economy and the power relations in a static way. I don't know if you remember Silicon Valley Bank went under.
Yes.
They just printed it. And all of its investments was in speculative shit that it shouldn't have been in. It shouldn't have been bailed out at all. It was huge. And what killed it was a bank run caused by a small group of dot-com people all freaking each other out because nothing they do is based in reality. And what did we do? We printed all of that money back. We backfilled it. So, you know, if you think about these sort of technological fads and you tear your hair out, most of them in the military industrial complex, so you haven't had to look at them, but sometimes they see the light of day. The truth is that this kind of bullshit is necessary to keep the economy running because none of this shit is real. We just have to keep printing money and shoving it into people who then waste it. Otherwise, we don't have anything going on, because what do we have? What do we produce other than some natural resources and control over each other? right?
Well, you eventually do create, Bernie, a Cybertruck that you can drive to the wrong Las Vegas and then drive to the right Las Vegas and shoot yourself in front of the Trump Vegas casino and hotel.
And that's not even a real car. The whole reason we have a Tesla or a Cybertruck is to say that we even have an electric vehicle industry. We prop it up with printed money. And meanwhile, the only way we can keep China's vastly cheaper electric vehicles out is by tariffs. And of course,
doubling their price.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, the NAFTA backdoor, I don't know what the trade relation is called now. China's just going to be assembling that shit in Mexico and we'll sending see. It up. So now we're going to go to trade war with Scheinbaum.
My final question for the two of y'all, to hopefully end on a lighter note, we'll see if our answers are really depressing. This is the first record of the year, and so I want to ask you two questions. One, what are you most looking forward to this year? And two, what is your prediction of the dumb thing that doesn't seem real is going to happen? Like, what do you think is going to happen that is so dumb it can't possibly be real? I can say what I am looking forward to this year is coming in February. We are planning on doing a Propagandos episode on the new Captain America movie, New World Order. you're laughing, but like, you know, there's a character named Sabra. That's a Mossad agent. I told you the last time I saw one of these crappy movies, there was like a huge crowd. So hopefully we'll have some, I'll get some interviews from people in the crowd. So I'm looking forward to it for multiple reasons, but also because it's like, hey, we're going to try something new with this episode. So, yes, listeners, I am giving a little bit of a spoiler of what we'll be doing this year in terms of content, but it'll be cool. The thing that I think that's going to happen that is so stupid, it cannot possibly be real.
Sabra as the Israeli superhero doesn't feel real, by the way.
Oh, it's real.
That's crazy. I know it is.
That's a comic book character that they put in the movie, and I think they had to like rewrite their origin story after October 7th.
Do they have like a Popeye thing? Like, does the hummus give them the superpowers?
No relation.
Is this
to
at all
hummus.
Related to the hummus?
They called
this person Hummus Man.
Sabra predates the Sabra hummus by like 30 years. Like Sabra is from like the 1970s. It's just like Lathe of Heaven shit. Like the most recognizable, mimetic, hated thing in the Middle East is the Israeli hummus, right? A whole cuisine stolen from the native.
It has
people.
Layers. It has cultural appropriative layers. It's got everything you want. And they can grow that shit because they stole the water. Oh my God.
Now, the thing that I think is going to be so stupid, it can't possibly be real, an Elon Musk skin in Fortnite. They already have the Cybertruck.
I mean, I would say Elon Musk dying in like a car accident.
Elon Musk dies after inserting Neuralink chip in himself. He comes on, he's like, hello, everyone. I did it myself. And then his brain just explodes on stage.
Just blood gushing out of him as those mannequin dancers dance behind him.
Yeah, those robots.
I think we'll see Elon Musk crash out and go berserk on the grounds of the White House or in the White House. I can see him trying to get in and trying to force his way in after being denied entry and making some kind of scene. I can see that. Or I can see him
service. That'd be crazy.
Something I can see him. I can see him, you know, being discovered in the drawer of a hotel room, you know, that he's playing with things enough that I can see him going away in some ridiculous way.
I think he'll go away.
The thing that Oh yeah, he can't exist. He's like a quark or a pluon.
If the first Trump administration is any indicator, like everyone has a half-life of about 6 months. Maybe you'll make it a year.
And he is radioactive. I mean, he is as crazy and incoherent as Trump is, yeah. Right? And you can't have those two guys in the same room for very long before they're just at each other's throats.
Yeah. All right, what are you looking forward to, Bernie?
I'm looking forward to the Trump presidency. I got to admit, I missed having this insane asshole in office. I missed sharing weird photos of him popping up where you wouldn't imagine this loser to be. He's like He's like a cartoon character. I can't wait to follow his every move and watch him completely dismantle the American empire and turn it into the dysfunctional slave states that it always wanted to be. I think that this is the harbinger of the end of the United States, so I think this is going to be a terrible year. I think we're going to run the name into the ground before we ditch it, but I think this will really be the year which balkanizes the U.S., because I think people really couldn't control it as a whole nation to their desire. So I think we're going to see us testing out the Supreme Court basically saying, go for it, guys, go for it.
So related, yeah. I'm gonna cheat. I've got two, right? By the way, Orange Man Rides a Pale Horse, maybe, huh? Something. Okay.
All right.
So I've got two, a joke one and a serious one. My joke one is Biden does lib January 6th, but that would also be very funny to the liberal just dismantling of democracy on a whim. Serious
they
one?
They just show up at the White House because they all have dementia. They think they're still president.
But then they forgot.
Yeah, serious it's like, one? I mean, if you looked at the average age, you're like 86. Go ahead, sir.
Serious one, Houthi invasion of Saudi Arabia.
I want to talk about that one.
Run all the way up to the doorstep of Israel, right? That would be that's what would be the sickest shit to happen in 2025.
I hope for that. I hope for the sanctity and integrity of that country so that they can continue to play their geostrategic role, because they can launch a couple rockets and completely crater the UAE and the Saudis' oil refining business and essentially kill the world economy. That's the thing Iran has always been able to threaten to do. But I look at how Lebanon and Syria basically were just on hold. They were in a waiting pattern, waiting to just get flipped to whatever regime we chose, and whatever regime we chose started dancing to our tune in an absurd way. Like, we got an ISIS guy pledging to be transparent and open and base his economy on technology and Bitcoin and startup investments and shit like that, just kind of guessing at whatever the fuck he wants us to do is what that looks like.
A Lebanese government that praises Israel while they bomb Beirut.
Exactly. They're being actively invaded. I mean, this is for some of the listeners who may not have alternative news sources. Israel has invaded the south of Syria and Lebanon and taken a lot of areas, including places like ethnic villages, which they are now cleansing. And the supposedly hardline Islamists who have taken over that area have not said peep about it. Anyway, I'm looking at that and I worry. I worry that Iran will collapse. I worry that Yemen won't be able to stand up, although it's not that hard to continue the type of struggle that they're going through with us. And I worry that, as I mentioned earlier, like the powers that be, the dark powers, saw the weather changes and the plague, and they said, this is the time for the black hand to grasp humanity by the neck. I'm worried that that might be true. But then at the end of the day, if you look at China, they're just running around, just slowly building stuff. If we don't nuke them, I think they might be the hope for all humanity. So if Yemen falls, we always got the guys who make our shit.
All right. On that note, Bernie, I want to thank you once again for coming on to the show. If you have anything,
this is always fun.
Yeah. Do you have anything?
No, other than me, listen to the earlier interview. I'm going to plug this podcast.
Thanks so much for coming on, Bernie. It's a treat. I will be listening to this as well multiple times as I unlock different chambers within the conversation that I didn't think were there before.
It's been a dish. It's been lovely. I'll see you guys when you have me on again. And it's a delight every time.
All right. As always, Propagandos. Excelsior, and keep your eyes on the skies.
Bye bye.
You may ask yourself, what is that beautiful house? You may ask yourself, where does that highway go to? And you may ask yourself, am I right? Am I wrong? And you may say to yourself, my God, what have I done?
Hey, Bernie.
How's it going, guys?
Good. How are you?
I just got done walking these dogs, man. I went on a rant. I'm all warmed up. What if I missed? What's going on?
Nothing much. Hey, dude, did you ditch that mall? I don't even know what's real in Bernie's life or not. He's living at a mall.
Right now. Yeah, I'm recording right now. So give me some context for this mall. What's going on?
So I was actually reading the notes that my psychiatrist wrote about me, and they themselves are unsure about whether the mall is real, a real place, or whether I'm just making it up as part of an elaborate fantasy. But I'm not there anymore. It actually, when I came to it, it was pretty much empty. I was out of my mind and looking for some place to hide. And this abandoned mall was perfect. And it was like $550 a month. But while I lived there secretly, I ended up watching the place transform. A place that sells dessert candles moved in. Before this, I could have my run of the place like yodeling. I filmed these unhinged videos. It was marvelous. Local kids would do shenanigans in the hallways of it. It was a nice place. Then this dessert candle shop showed up, and then the place across me ended up moving out. And then so there's this guy who moved in behind me, in the unit behind me, who owns a series of resorts in the mountains up north. And he was telling me that he basically was part of an anti-communist operation operating out of Italy. And he functioned as an accountant in the Bahamas to make all of this legitimate. And in the course of this, he had met and befriended King Hussein of Jordan. So this guy probably shook hands with people who pulled teeth out or whatever, but now he's rehabbing the units and putting in like a thrift mall or something like that. I don't know if anybody would be at all interested.
This guy's like a propaganda due dude, and he's like, yeah, I met him. Now I'm fucking doing construction.
It's correct. Well, he's managing construction. Like everything up north in California in the hinterlands, it's basically like these chain gangs of toothless crackers and the literal, you know, big fat white guy above them. And I don't know how they come to be toothless. Although I tried to get dental care in Crescent City, couldn't find it. Nobody wants to listen to this.